Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football inclusive.
Back at it again. It's the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show on the Fantasy Sports Channel right here live for the next hour and a half. You know how we do it, 8:30 to 10 each and every week. Rick Sertella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, breaking it down for you, going around the league of mystery intrigue, fantasy studs, dud sleepers, answering your questions as always in the chat room. Want to give a shout out to all our chat room people. Love it. We'll get some people woken up here in the early morning and get to all your questions. 347-945-6275. We're going to talk about all the happenings of the past week. Marshawn Lynch packing his bags, heading to Seattle. Randy Moss, we all know, coming back home. Monday Night Football Showdown, we'll talk about that one. Return of Santonio Holmes, Brian Cushing, players coming off suspensions, everything that you need to know for the next 90 minutes right here on Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. And with that said, we're going to welcome in the stars of the show, Ross Stradamus, Ross Mandel. How are you today on October 10th, 2010?
Definitely football weather, and that means football all day, all night, baby. I'm ready to roll. Week 5.
And the good Reverend Ralph Mancini, it's a Week 5 holiday, baby.
Yeah, let's get this train rolling.
All right, let's do it. Let's get to the first game, and we got Kansas City at Indianapolis. It's the first, only last unbeaten team in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody would have predicted it. They travel into Indianapolis, would make a huge statement with their Romeo Crennel-led no-name defense. Take it away.
Well, Rick, I think even if Kansas City hangs close in this game and comes up short, it's going to make a pretty big statement. I think that's going to be a tall, tall task. Listen, you know, you got to pay attention to those as close to the game as possible injury reports because Austin Colley is kind of a bit of an international man of mystery at this point. They say he's questionable. They say Pierre Garçon is questionable. Garçon is definitely going to go in this game. Colley, I'm not so sure about. And how Garçon does is dependent upon whether or not Colley plays. I mean, look, you love Peyton Manning. You love Dallas Clark. You love Reggie Wayne in this game. But the fourth piece to the puzzle, and I even like Joseph Addai in this game because there's no other running backs that are upright in Indianapolis. Everybody else is banged up, so Addai is going to get all the touches, I think. But if Colley does not go, you know, that raises Garçon's value, a huge deal. And, you know, the Colts' run defense has given up 5 yards a game. That means that Jamaal Charles and Thomas Jones are both sort of usable in this game. I like Charles a lot. I still think Jones is a viable flex play in this game. And I also think, you know, he hasn't done a lot this year, but I think they're going to have to throw the ball downfield at least a little bit in this game. I think Dwayne Bowe is going to be a usable flex play or a third wide receiver. If you have to use one, you're on a bye week, you're stuck. Maybe you have Austin Colley and Dwayne Bowe. I would plug Bowe in. I don't like using guys like Colley. You don't know if they're going to play. Then if you hear they do play, he plays one play, he's not productive, and he's done the rest of the day, and you got a fat zero in your fantasy column. The guy I don't like in this game, and I don't care if you're on a bye week or you have two quarterbacks, that's Matt Cassel. Look, this team might be 3-0, but Cassel's been anything but impressive. He's completing just 54.5% of his passes. Stay away from Matt Cassel. If for some reason you have him on your roster, get rid of him and pick someone else up. And I kind of like Pierre Garçon in this game, guys, as a sleeper. He's been practicing fully, and I don't trust that Austin Colley's going to play. I don't see any reason for them to force him back early. Kansas City has the 25th-ranked pass defense that's not going to improve this week. I see the Colts getting up big in this one and cruising to a win 31-16.
Wow, okay. Well, I think Kansas City is going to make this one closer than some people believe. And watch out, Matt Cassel, steering the ship in the right direction. Just don't write off the Kansas City Chiefs just yet. We're going to go over to the chat room. Question, Ralph, PPR League, 3 running backs. Needs 3 of them in a PPR league. Chris Johnson, Tim Hightower, Jamaal Charles, Javid Best, and your man Tolbert there in San Diego. I think Chris Johnson is the given playing the Dallas Cowboys. I don't care how good the Cowboys run defense is. You start Chris Johnson each and every week. I think the question becomes, Ralph, Javid Best in that turf toe, how effective can he be? Do you play him over Tim Hightower and Jamaal Charles and Tom Tolbert?
Yeah, I like Javid best this week. I know that what you have to do is you have to, you know, keep track of those last-minute reports with Best. I mean, he played through his turf toe injury last week. He hasn't been great over the past couple of weeks, but he's got a favorable matchup versus the Detroit Lions. He is the big play guy. And the thing with guys like Javid Best is, you know, he doesn't have to be effective throughout the game. You don't have to give him the ball 20 times. All you really need from him are like one or two or three really big plays, which he's capable of doing. He's a big play type of guy. So I would put in Best right now over Tolbert. Definitely start Jamaal Charles. And as I said, pay attention to those late minute or those late day reports just to see, you know, if you know, the team decides, you know, to let Best rest this Sunday.
All right, so there you have it. You know, stick with Best. Ride him out this week. See what happens. But do remember that turf toe could be a little bit tricky. We saw it with Johnny Stewart a couple of years ago. His name still has stuck around. It's an injury that just does not go away. It lingers all season long. Okay, Ross, over to Go Bronx. I need two non-PPR, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, Larry Fitzgerald, Johnny Knox, Lance Moore, or Ocho Cinco. It's non-PPR league, Mike Williams, Larry Fitzgerald, Johnny Knox, Lance Moore, or Ocho Cinco. Who do you like there, Ross?
I like Larry Fitzgerald and Ocho Cinco, much as I'd like to have my man Lance Moore in that group. I just think that Fitzgerald and Ocho have a better chance of getting into the end zone today. Look, I think the quarterback change in Arizona should have come a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's going to inject a little life into that offense. They're going to be down a lot, passing a lot, and Fitzgerald's just that good that he is going to find the end zone. And, you know, look, Ocho's been playing pretty well. He had a little bit of a downturn last week, only three receptions. But, you know, after what T.O. did last week, I think Tampa Bay is going to be focused on him, and I think Ocho might get loose for a deep ball or two. So I like those two.
I agree. I think those two guys are your studs, Fitzgerald, Ocho Cinco. Yes, they've been very inconsistent this season, to say the least, but you got to stick with them. It's only week five. Let's do it. Sticking in the chat room, Ralph, PPR League, America's Guest, needs one of the following. We just talked about the Kansas City game. Jamaal Charles averaging 7 yards a carry this season, going up against Indianapolis, or the man we just mentioned, Larry Fitzgerald, against the New Orleans Saints. Who do you like here, PPR League, Ralph?
Jamaal Charles versus Fitzgerald. I'm going to go with Jamaal Charles. I mean, to me, I think this is the type of game where you want to get Charles going. I think Kansas City wants to run the football. Are they going to be able to run the football? I think they will, as long as they keep it close. But regardless, Jamaal Charles is going to get a lot of touches today.
Yeah, I think Charles gets more touches. More touches means more yards. Charles over Fitzgerald. Again, Max Hall getting his first career NFL start this week, undrafted from BYU. We'll talk about that more later in the show. But Jamaal Charles seems to be the more sure thing here. JoJo in the chat room wants to know, flex PPR, should he play Shady McCoy or Brent Celek? I'm thinking McCoy gets nudged the wrong way, and then they pull him.
I kind of like McCoy in this game. I like the toughness that he's shown, although Celek, you know, with Cobb at quarterback, is going to get more touches than he would have done if Vic were in there. But I kind of like McCoy in this game. I think he's going to get the vast majority of the touches. I'm not a big Mike Bell backer as far as this game goes. So I think by a narrow margin, I'm going with Slim Shady in this one.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles are going to put up some points this week. I really do think Cobb is going to bounce back, get started in the right direction. But, yeah, something to be reminded of. Brent Celek is Kevin Cobb's roommate, and, you know, he is somebody that he was targeting quite often before the injury, you know, going back to last season, the preseason, and, you know, all that good stuff. So, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, bringing you up to the 10 o'clock hour, going around the league, fantasy stud duds and sleepers. You know how we do it. You can always catch us at the NFLDraftBible.com. Make sure you check that bad boy out. Ralph, the New York Giants travel into the Houston area today, take on the Texans. You know, the Giants came out and had a sack party last week, 9 sacks in the first 20 passing plays against the Chicago Bears. Knocks Jay Cutler out this week with a concussion. The Texans are a drop-back passing team, but they do get the return of Brian Cushing, the hardest working athlete in history of pro sports. So why don't you break that one down for us, Ralph?
Yeah, well, I like Hakeem Nicks as a stud here. I think he has emerged as the best Giants receiver. He was the go-to guy last week and missed scoring a touchdown just by inches. This week he goes up against a rookie in Kareem Jackson at cornerback and Robert Quinn, who hasn't really played well thus far. The Giants, they're going to need to air it out this week versus, and they do have a banged-up offensive line, which means they could have problems running the ball. Definitely going to go with Hakeem Nicks as a stud. The other stud here is Arian Foster. He had 131 yards and one touchdown in three quarters last week. The Giants linebackers lack speed, and the G-men will have a tougher time versus Foster, who's miles better at running between the tackles than they did with Matt Forte last week. The dud here is Jacobs. He's a fumble waiting to happen. The team has no faith in him. Even though he did have a 29-yard run versus the Bears last week, that was pretty much in garbage time. Plus, Houston ranks second versus the run, holding opponents to 70 yards per game. And, as you mentioned, they do get Brian Cushing back. And the other dud here is Owen Daniels. He's running at half speed. His own team doesn't rely on him too much at this point, and neither should you. I say, unless you're really in a big league, I say cut him or find a better option. The sleeper here is the other tight end, Kevin Boss. Houston has the worst defense when it comes to covering tight ends. The Texans have surrendered a touchdown to the tight end position in three out of four games. Boss should get open against the likes of Bernard Pollard, who is excellent versus the run, but so, and he is playing with a bad shoulder. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, but I do like Houston to come out and put a licking on the Giants by the score of 30-27.
Wow, okay, so you have it as a close one. Let's let our residential Giants guru weigh in on this one, Ross. Who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, much as I hate to agree with the Reverend, I do. I don't think the Giants are going to have a very good game on the road in this one. I don't like the Sean O'Hara injury. You got to reshuffle the whole offensive line. That does not bode well for Eli Manning against that pretty strong Texan front. And it also doesn't bode well for Ahmad Bradshaw, who's a little dinged up, but he will play and probably play well, just not as well as he would have if the offensive line was in order. I see Houston winning this game 31-21.
All right, so nobody's got the Giants. Nobody's drinking that Kool-Aid. You can't pull the wool over our eyes. We're all saying the Texans win today, so they'll probably lose. All right, back over to the chat room, people. Vasanti Shanko or Brandon Pettigrew this week? You know, Shanko has an injury, but he is probable. And Rostradamus rubbed his crystal balls this morning and says he's good to go. So you stick with Shanko over Pettigrew. Need two in a non-PPR coming from the boys. What up, boys, in the chat room? DeSean Jackson, of course you play him. Greg Jennings, Hakeem Nicks, Dez Bryant, Percy Harvin, Mike Williams. Sounds like you've been a listener to this show because that's a damn good team. Let's start it off with you, Ross. DeSean Jackson, Greg Jennings, Hakeem Nicks, Dez Bryant, Percy Harvin, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Who are you going to pair with DeSean Jackson here? Needs two in a non-PPR league.
Well, honestly, Rick, I'm going to have to buck your, of course, you played DeSean Jackson. Not when you have Jennings and Nicks. I have them both ranked higher than DeSean Jackson this week. Look, if Michael Vick were playing, I'd say you're right, but Kevin Cobb just is not throwing the ball down the field, and DeSean Jackson's skills are not being maximized with Kevin Cobb in the lineup, and until they are, you know, he's good, but he's not great. And I think this week Jennings busts out against Washington. I don't have any rhyme or reason other than the fact that I've seen him do it in the past. He hasn't done it the last few weeks, although he's gotten in the end zone the last two games. I just think that Jennings is going to find a lot of holes in that Redskin defense. And Hakeem Nicks, I mean, look, the Texans are giving up tons of points to fantasy football wide receivers in every game they played. He had 8 grabs for 110 yards in a pretty sloppy game last Sunday night. So I'm going to go with Jennings and Nicks in this one, and I want to see Jackson get downfield with Kevin Cobb at quarterback before I have him as a top 7 or 8 wide receiver.
Wow. Okay. Well, Ralph, there you hear it from Rostradamus. Me, myself, I have trouble taking DeSean Jackson out of my starting lineup. Do you agree or disagree?
Look, I love DeSean Jackson, but what concerns me is Kevin Cobb. I didn't like what I saw out of him last week, and I'm thinking that he's going to try to check it down a lot, both to McCoy and to his buddy Bryn Selick. And so in that case, I like Jennings over DeSean Jackson because, look, he's going up against a very average secondary, and you're also hearing that Albert Haynesworth is going to miss the game because of a death in the family. So in that case, I do like Jennings' chances more this week than I like DeSean Jackson's chances. So I think I'm going to have to agree with Ross and go with Jennings and Hakeem Nicks.
All right, sticking to the chat room questions, fellas. Can't make the club in the tub wants to know. Non-PPR league needs two. Peyton Hillis, Ray Rice, Joseph Addai. Ralph, last week, you know, actually all season, Ray Rice has been burning me pretty good. If you had a strong team, you've been able to withstand the poor, you know, subpar performance. I think Peyton Hillis is a must-play in this equation. So let me ask you this. Two players, non-PPR, Ralph, Peyton Hillis, Ray Rice, Joseph Addai. Who do you like?
Two out of the three? Well, you know, I think I'm going to have to go with Addai here just because the Colts, they're going to put up a lot of points. And you know that he's going to score at least one cheap touchdown, even if he doesn't put up the big yards. So I think Addai is a safe play here. I would probably I'd go with Hillis over Rice. However, Hillis does have a bad thigh. I think he's listed as questionable. It looks like he's going to go, but I would check those reports before the game just to make sure that he's 100% healthy. So I'd probably go with Addai and Hillis, but again, you need to check those reports, and if Hillis is not 100%, obviously, then you plug in Ray Rice.
Yeah, I think Hillis is going to be good to roll. That guy's tough as nails. A couple more chat room questions, then we're going to get over to the phone lines. Non-PPR, Ross needs two of these guys, and keep in mind, he can't change his lineup now until 1 p.m., so he's got to make a decision and stick with it. Obviously, with Marshawn Lynch out of town, C.J. Spiller is set to get more touches, so he needs two of these guys, non-PPR, C.J. Spiller, the boy Coon from Green Bay, Shady McCoy, Ryan Terrain, who should get all the carries in Washington today, or Tim Hightower. Which two guys do you like there, Ross?
Well, Andy Reid has said that he expects McCoy to play a full game. And with the amount of toughness that he showed last week in banging that rib up and just not saying anything to anyone and continuing to play, my guess is that McCoy is going to play enough to hook your fantasy football team up this week. And I think that Ryan Terrain is an absolute must-play. So I'm going with Terrain and McCoy for sure out of that group.
Yeah, that's a great setup because we're going to do the Redskins hosting the Packers next matchup, and I think Ryan Terrain is a must-play, as you said, Ross, so I agree with you. All right, one more quick one, and then we're going to get the phone lines rolling. Ralph, flex play. YoGun27 wants to know, Sean Green versus the Vikings or Pierre Garçon versus the Chiefs? You speak French this week?
I don't really love Sean Green this week. He's going up against a tough defense, but I usually have a hard time going with a wide receiver over a running back. Garçon is coming back off an injury, and I mean, I know he's going to be active, but is he going to be Peyton Manning's favorite receiver? I don't know. I say Garçon has a better chance to score in this game, but I think Green is a safer play. I'm probably going to go with Sean. I'm going to stick with Sean Green here just because I know he's going to get more touches. I don't know how active Garçon is going to be this week. I don't know how many looks he's going to get. He is coming off that injury. I'm going to go with Sean Green.
Well, I'm a Sean Green hater, and I agree with you, Reverend, so I would go Sean Green in that scenario. And since it's Sunday morning, week 5 holiday, it could only mean one thing. Jersey's in the house.
We got Philly's in the house. Yo, it's Jersey, my brothers. How you guys doing today?
All right, man. What's
rocking
up?
Rocking and rolling, baby.
Yeah,
talking
right.
Good news.
My brothers, you've been helping me. I'm 2-2 in my other league. I won 2, but I tell you what, my PPR league, I'm 1-3. My boy Randy, I can't get it done. Moss killed me Monday night when the other guy got 10 from Brandon Marshall. I lost by 5, but hopefully he'll redeem himself in Viking purple with my boy Childress. Hey, quick question. In my standard league, got to pick 2 of the 3. I got Malcolm Floyd because Brandon Marshall's on a bye. I got Dez Bryant and Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Standard league, non-PPR. I need two, my friends. Who do you recommend this week for me?
Okay, needs two, non-PPR. Malcolm Floyd, Dez Bryant, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay. Who do you like there, Reverend Ralph?
Well, I'm definitely going to go with Floyd. He's a no-brainer here. And then it comes down to which rookie you want to go with. You know something? I love Mike Williams as a receiver. I just don't like the matchup this week. I don't like the matchup for Josh Freeman. I don't trust Josh Freeman versus a good defense, which Cincinnati is. Therefore, I think Dez Bryant probably has a better chance of going off this week more than Mike Williams.
Nostradamus, care to weigh in?
Yeah, I agree. I don't like Williams going up against Leon Hall and Jonathan Joseph. I just think that Dez Bryant has other talent around him to free him up on enough plays that he's going to have a better fantasy week than Mike Williams. And as the Rev said, Malcolm Floyd is definitely one of the guys that you start in this scenario, but I'd go with Dez Bryant as the other.
Well, Jersey, let me just give you some food for thought here. I do like Malcolm Floyd as well, but I'm going to go Mike Williams here, in my opinion, just because I don't like the inconsistencies from a fantasy perspective. Roy Williams, Dez Bryant, Roy Williams, Dez Bryant, Miles Austin in the mix. Felix Jones is planning on a bigger role. And you know what? Mike Williams is a guaranteed number one wide receiver target, and he's coming off a bye week. I like my chances there. So I'm going to be the oddball here, but definitely play Malcolm Floyd.
Okay, yeah, I got Floyd and Williams in there now, so I just wasn't sure about Dez Bryant. So, all right, guys, I appreciate your help. That solidifies a little bit of information. I'll make my decision around 12. Best of luck to you guys this weekend in your leagues, and we'll talk next Sunday. Be safe and enjoy your day.
You too, man.
Absolutely, Jersey. Always love hearing from you. Keep climbing that ladder.
Thanks, guys.
To the beach, Jersey Shore. Always good times with Jersey in the house. 347-945-6275 if you want to call in and get in on the action. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. I promise to you we're going to preview each and every single game. But first, I want to give it to the people's choice. Give the people what they want here, and that's to answer your fantasy football questions. That's exactly what we're going to do here. The boys. What up? Non-PPR flex position Ross, DeSean Jackson, Percy Harvin, Dez Bryant, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, Ryan Terrain, LaDainian Tomlinson, Sean Green needs one. That's a pretty long roster you got there. Which one guy do you like from that equation?
Run me that list quick one more time, Rick.
DeSean Jackson, Percy Harvin, Dez Bryant, Mike Williams, Ryan Terrain, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Sean Green. I'm going to be coming back over to you, Reverend,
right,
for an opinion as well. DeSean Jackson, Percy Harvin, Dez, Mike Williams, Terrain, LaDainian Tomlinson, or Sean Green. Who do you guys like?
I'm definitely going with Ryan Terrain out of this group. Green Bay's defense has been a little sieve-like, and they're banged up this week. I like Ryan Terrain. To me, this choice is pretty easy.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm going to go with Ryan Terrain also. You know the success that Mike Shanahan has with those no-name backs, and Terrain already has had experience at Mike Shanahan. He's proven that he could be that effective downhill runner in that system. My second choice would be Harvin, but the first choice is definitely Terrain.
All right, we got Artie Lang in the chat room sticking to the Ryan Terrain. Wants to know, Terrain or a die in a non-PPR, Ralph?
Tough one, but I'm going to stick with Terrain here. Look, with Joseph Addai, yeah, he does have a good chance of scoring, but how many yards is he going to give you? You know, he's not going to go off 150 yards. I think Terrain gives you a better chance to put up big numbers yardage-wise versus a depleted Green Bay defense that's missing a couple of guys in the front seven.
I agree. It's all about the upside, and this is the week you play Ryan Terrain and you make yourself look like a genius with your buddies. Ross. Cedric Benson, Javid Best, or Matt Forte needs one of them. Pretty solid bunch to choose from. Which one do you like here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cedric Benson in this one, and I'm not the hugest Cedric Benson fan, and he's had a pretty so-so year thus far. But, you know, Rashard Mendenhall managed to earn some yards against Tampa Bay and Cincinnati. Doesn't want to throw the ball as much as they have of late, so I think Benson's going to get fed the ball. I think he's going to produce this week to the tune of probably about 100 yards and at least one touchdown, and it could be the week that he finds the end zone a couple times.
All right, moving right along. Ralph's ace in the hole. I got an ace up in the sleeve. His name is Ralph Mancini. Standard scoring league, Ralph. Me too. Ahmad Bradshaw, Tolbert, or Matthews, who do you like here?
Well, look, with Matthews, you know he's going to get probably like between 10 and 12 carries, maybe a little bit more. He's going to share carries with Tolbert. Whereas Bradshaw is the number one guy there with the Giants. Jacobs is not going to get a lot. He might get 3 carries. He may get 5 carries, but Bradshaw is going to carry the load. I know he's playing with a bad ankle, but I like what I've seen out of Bradshaw. I'm going to stick with him. It's going to be a high-scoring game. They're going to need him. They're going to give him the ball on the run. They're going to throw him the ball. I'm going to go with Bradshaw here.
Ross, Matt Ryan has struggled during his whole NFL career on the road. He hasn't been able to shake that stigma. He plays Cleveland at Cleveland, a pretty tough team if you ask me. Who do you like this week, Tony Romo versus the 13th-ranked Tennessee defense or Matt Ryan against the 24th-ranked Cleveland Brown defense?
Interesting. I'm going to go with Tony Romo in this one. I think that given a choice, Atlanta's going to run the ball, and I think that's what they're going to do at Cleveland. And I think coming off a bye week in another so-called must-win scenario at home against Tennessee, who is kind of sketchy as far as I'm concerned, I see Tony Romo as a borderline top five quarterback this week, while I see Matt Ryan as a borderline top 10. So I'm going to go with Romo. He's going to approach 300 yards and probably throw for a couple touchdowns this week, and I don't think Ryan approaches that really.
Yeah, I myself like Romo over Ryan. I think Ryan is going to struggle with the Browns, and I think the Falcons as a team are going to struggle to win that game. Ralph needs to lead Green Nation, hook your boy up, PPR league. Cedric Benson, Javid Best, Ryan Terrain, Felix Jones. Would I be wrong if I were to tell you Cedric Benson and Ryan Terrain were the way to go here?
Yeah, absolutely. Benson and Terrain. Look, Best is dealing with that toe. You don't know how much he's going to play. He might not even play. It looks like he is, but you don't know how much he's going to play. And then Felix Jones, they do say that they want to get the ball in his hands a little bit more. But with so many weapons that they do have at their disposal, I'm talking about the Cowboys, you just don't know how many times he's going to get the ball. So why don't you just give him a week to prove to you that he can be that player that everybody thought he was going to be at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, I would definitely go with those other two guys, Terrain and Benson.
I'm tired of hearing Dallas say that they're going to get Felix Jones more involved. They've been saying it for 20 weeks.
It's been about 3 years, actually, Ross. PC Keen, Keep It Clean, wants to know, Ross, two players here, Marion Barber, speaking of the Dallas running back situation, you got MB3, Tim Hightower, Sean Green, Mike Sims-Walker, or Legadu Nanu needs two. Marion Barber, Tim Hightower, Sean Green, Mike Sims-Walker, or Legadu Nanu, who do you like there?
Yikes is what I like there. I think I'm going to go with the pair of running backs. I'm going to go with Barber and Green in this one. They might not see necessarily the most touches of any running backs that we have going this week, but I don't care for Hightower, and I think Barber is going to get those carries inside the 5-yard line for Dallas, of which I think there's going to be a few. And despite the presence of the Williams wall, I think Sean Green's actually going to have a decent day this week. On Monday night, I don't think he's going to go off for 120-plus yards like he did last week, but I see him getting, you know, 15 carries, maybe 70 yards and a touchdown, the touchdown being the tough part to figure out here. But, you know, Legadu Nane is at best a third choice in San Diego, and you can't trust Mike Sims-Walker. I mean, this guy's had 2 zero-catch days so far this season. To me, that means he's a no-go if you have another option, and to me, I think barely, but I think that Sean Green is another option.
Yeah, I think if you want to be a gambling man and roll the dice a little bit and take your chances, you know, Sims-Walker, he is due to bust out one of these weeks. I think he's going to have a really big week. It might be this week. You may want to roll the dice there. I'm a gambling man. Ralph, I'm going to give you a list of five players, and you tell me which one you would play for your flex position. This one's coming in from Dazed and Confused. Good movie there. Which player for a non-PPR league? You got C.J. Spiller, Liddell Betts, Dez Bryant, Eddie Royal, or Lance Moore. You know, Spiller is going to be in the mix more in Buffalo.
Yep.
Betts is
yep.
probably relegated to a backup role in Ivory. You got the rookie Dez Bryant, Eddie Royal, who's, you know, splitting so many balls there in Denver. But Kyle Orton is airing it out, and the inconsistent Lance Moore. Which one player do you like?
He needs one or two. He just needs one player. Okay,
correct.
Well, in that case, I'm going to go with C.J. Spiller. You know, as you mentioned, Marshawn Lynch was traded, so right now that opens up things for both Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller. I see both teams, the Bills and the Jags, putting up points this week. I don't like either one of those defenses. Spiller is a big play guy. He can make plays returning the ball off of kickoffs and punts. He could catch the ball. He could do so many things. They can line it up so many different ways. He is a wild card type of player. I want to go with C.J. Spiller here.
Sold. I'm with you. Ross, need one player. PPR league, Jeremy Maclin, Malcolm Floyd, Dwayne Bowe. Who you going with?
Maclin, Bowe, Floyd. I think I'm going with Malcolm Floyd. Again, as is the case with DeSean Jackson, I just don't trust Kevin Cobb to maximize Jeremy Macklin's abilities to get down the field. And, you know, Dwayne Bowe, hit or miss, I can't trust Matt Castle that much. But one thing I do know is that San Diego is going to put the ball up and Phillip Rivers is going to hit Malcolm Floyd a few times this week. I see Malcolm Floyd finding the end zone for sure in this game, probably getting about 75, 80 yards, and I think that's better than the other two are going to do.
I agree. You can't get hurt with Malcolm Floyd. Okay, guys. Lance Moore, Mario Manningham, or Dwayne Bowe, Ralph, needs one in a non-PPR league. Lance Moore, Mario Manningham, Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, they all have pretty favorable matchups. I'm going to go with Dwayne Bowe just because even though the Chiefs say they want to run the ball versus the Colts, I don't think they're going to be able to do that all game long. They're going to have to play catch-up at some point, and Bowe is the number one receiver there. So I'm going to stick with Dwayne Bowe here.
Yeah, he's a clear-cut number one out of the trio. I like it. Ross, Jason Snelling or Ryan Matthews this week?
Ryan Matthews for sure. I mean, he's only going to get about, you know, 15 carries tops, but he'll do much more than that than Snelling will with his carries. And as you said it, I tend to kind of agree. I don't think Atlanta's going to have an easy time of it in Cleveland, and, you know, Michael Turner's going to be getting the lion's share of the carries there. So I'm going to go with Matthews in this one.
All right, Ralph, we got some deep sleepers here for Iron City Beer. Ran into some bye week issues this week. He's looking at a flex position, PPR league, Liddell Betts, Brandon Jackson, or LeGarrette Blount. And before you laugh, let's not forget Tampa Bay coming off the bye week wants to feature LeGarrette Blount a little bit more in that offense. Brandon Jackson has been disappointing thus far, subbing in for Brian Grant. And Liddell Betts, again, you know, Pierre Thomas unlikely to play, but I think the majority of the carries go to Ivory in New Orleans. Tough decision. Who do you like here, Ralph? Betts, Jackson, or Blount?
Well, look, I love LeGarrette Blount ever since his days as an Oregon Duck. And, you know, if you're in a dynasty league or in a big league, you definitely hold on to him and stash him away. But you just don't know for sure if Tampa Bay is going to give him the ball a whole heck of a lot. He's going to be sharing the rock with three other guys there. He looks like he's probably going to be their short yardage guy. But right now, this week, going into week five, I think the safer play is Betts. I mean, not that I'm in love with the guy, but he is playing in the best offense when you're talking about all three of those teams that you just mentioned. So I think he probably has the best chance of doing some damage, maybe even scoring. I don't know how they're going to split up those carries. It looks like it's going to be maybe a 50-50 or 60-40 distribution between him and Ivory. So right now, this week, I'm going to go with Betts because I haven't seen enough from Blount, even though I do love him as a running back.
Okay, Fantasy Football Insiders Radio here, you there, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini going around the league. We're going to come back to the chat room. We're going to get in all your questions. We're going to get in all the games. Ross, let's break down another game. We mentioned it, Green Bay traveling to Washington, where this cover 2-3-4 defense has been giving teams a lot of struggles. That's the Redskins, that is. But Albert Haynesworth, as we mentioned earlier, out, death of his half-brother. He's not going to be at the game. Break it down for the people.
Yeah, a lot to like in this one, fantasy-wise. You know, obviously, you have Aaron Rodgers and JerMichael Finley you have to start. I'm giving Greg Jennings another must-start, but the minimal yardage he's gaining is starting to become a bit of a concern to me. 36 yards, 18 yards, 25 yards the last three. He has found the end zone. I think he's going to bust out for a big yardage week as well this week, but keep your eye on him. Donald Driver is really the one benefiting from the extra attention that JerMichael Finley is starting to get. I think he's a safe play as well. Santana Moss somehow was shut out last week against the Eagles, but really Washington barely threw the ball at all, and that's pretty much the reason why that happened. I expect Moss to rebound this week at home against Green Bay. Green Bay's defense is very banged up, so I think that Moss is definitely usable. Also, Chris Cooley, my man, McNabb is playing it safe. He is McNabb's number one receiving target, and I think he is safe to use in the middle of that field and even out of the slot against Green Bay. I also kind of like Donovan McNabb this week. You know, lost in the fact that Vic got hurt last week and the fact that the Redskins won, is McNabb really didn't rack up any fantasy numbers, and he didn't play great, but he didn't play terribly. They just didn't throw the ball that much. I think he'll be able to take advantage of a pretty dinged up, as I said, Green Bay defense. So I think he's a pretty good play, especially if you have a Jay Cutler or your quarterback's on a bye this week. Guys I don't like in this one are the Green Bay running backs. I'm done with this experiment and listing these guys as sleepers. I see this game as a pass all day long for Aaron Rodgers kind of game. John Kuhn might get a goal line carry, but, you know, does that make him a viable fantasy option even in a bye week? I'm starting to say no. I'm tired of putting him in there, seeing him get a few carries, a few yards, and, you know, hope that he gets a goal line carry. I don't like it at all. And Brandon Jackson, to me, is a huge disappointment. He got handed a golden opportunity and has really done nothing with it. He's not an option in Aaron Rodgers' passing attack, really. So I don't think you can start either one of those running backs. The sleeper to me in this one is James Jones from Green Bay. There's going to be a ton of passing in this one. I know Jones had a big fumble on national television against the Bears, but he has played well when given the opportunity, and I think there will be opportunities in this game. I think Rodgers, you know, is going to find him in the end zone at least once in this game. I think Green Bay struggles in this game, as they seem to make themselves do every week with penalties and ill-timed turnovers. But I do think they managed to get a win in this game 24-21 in a pretty good game.
All right, there you have it. It is going to be, you know, I think, honestly, Green Bay is going to go into Washington and destroy this ball club, if you ask me. But that's just me. Quick hitters on the questions coming in the chat room. Then we're going to get into Tampa Bay at Cincinnati. A couple of quick ones. Janko over Pettigrew. You know, Janko is going to be probably going to play. Even opens things up even more underneath with Moss extending and stretching the field, in my opinion. So go Janko, have no doubts about it. Also, another easy one that stuck out to me was Kevin Cobb or Matt Castle. I think you go Cobb over Castle all day this week. Like I said, I like Cobb to bounce back this week. We'll get some more in. I promise we'll come right back to it. But first, we've got to get another game in. Tampa Bay, like we said, coming off the bye week. Somewhat of a surprise team this year, Ralph. Traveling into Cincinnati, where, you know, I think people are waiting for Batman and Robin to kind of explode in the same game. Is that ever going to happen this season?
Well, the one thing I can guarantee is Cedric Benson is going to be the stud here. He's coming off a ho-hum effort last week with the team playing from behind, which forced him to pass protect more than usual. But not only is Benson one of the few three-down backs in the league, but this week's opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they just can't stop the run. They have the fifth worst defense in that regard, giving up 129 yards per game to opposing rushers. I think Benson should see lots of touches in this one. The dud here is Josh Freeman. I'm a big Freeman fan, and I like his future prospects, but I'm not ready to start him versus a tough defense just yet. You know, although he won't be facing a fierce pass rush like the one he went up against versus Pittsburgh, Cincinnati's secondary is very good. Outside of Tom Brady this season, the Bengals have shut down just about every opposing quarterback, held them to under 200 yards passing. So this is not a very good matchup for a matchup's quarterback. So I say if you don't need him, and even if you do need him, keep Josh Freeman on the bench this week if you can. The sleeper here is the rookie Jermaine Gresham. He hasn't been getting a ton of targets, but he's part of the mix out there in Cincinnati. This week he'll be called upon with greater frequency due to the fact that Jordan Shipley will be out as he's recovering from a concussion. Palmer likes throwing that ball in the middle of the field, and I think Gresham should be open on a lot of those play-action passes. Plus, Tampa Bay's secondary is just flat-out bad. Rondae Barber is a fossil. The safeties are awful. So I do like Chad Ochocinco. I do like Keo to a lesser degree, but I do love Jermaine Gresham here as a sleeper. And the final score will be Cincinnati 27, Tampa Bay 17.
Okay, there you have it. I think this is going to be another one of those close games. Back over to the chat room, people. You know, we love it. We're going to keep it going. And if you want to dial in, 347-945-6275 is the call-in number here. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. You know, the question about Kyle Orton or David Garrard, you know, I would play Kyle Orton over David Garrard almost every single day of the week. Russ, here comes one in team defense. New York Giants, Atlanta Falcons, or San Francisco 49ers this week. The 49ers have the Eagles, the Falcons have the Browns, and the Giants have the Texans. Who do you like there?
Yeah, you can't start the Giants at all. I think in this matchup, I'd go with the Atlanta Falcons, especially since Jake Delhomme might play.
Yep.
The Falcons have feasted on interceptions, and I see them winning a pretty low-scoring game today and may even get like a pick six against Delhomme, which is always a possibility. I don't like the Giants today at all. And, you know, the 49ers defense has played better, but, you know, the dink and dunking of Kevin Cobb, I don't like that as far as turnovers go. So I'm going to go with the Falcons on this one.
All right. There was a question that came in, non-PPR needed two. You had Mike Williams, Percy Harvin, Jeremy Maclin, but then you also listed DeSean Jackson and Randy Moss in that equation. And if that's the case, then this becomes a non-question because you would have to go DeSean Jackson and Randy Moss. If I had to rank the other three, I would probably go Harvin, Mike Williams, Jeremy Maclin. If we didn't answer that question clearly for you, you know, get at us in the chat room, and we surely will. Ralph, needs two, PPR league, Hakeem Nicks, Randy Moss, Austin Colley. Woo, that's a tough one.
Well, I don't think it's that tough, especially when you consider that Colley's banged up. He's questionable, and I don't think he is going to play. I mean, you know, they have so many other weapons in Indianapolis with Pierre Garçon coming back. I would just rest Austin Colley. I think that's the safe way to go for the Colts. So I'd go with those other two guys, Nicks and Moss.
Okay, if the Reverend says it, you know it's true. Rostradamus, non-PPR, Jamal Charles or Cedric Benson, who do you like this week?
I like Benson by a little bit. I just think that as far as the matchups go, I know Charles has an easy time of it against Indianapolis, but not if the score gets a little bit away from them and not on the road. I just like Benson against Tampa Bay's soft defense a little bit more. And if Cincinnati gets up, they're going to use him even more. I just think he gets more opportunities, hits the 100-yard mark, and I think Charles is going to be hard-pressed to do that.
All right, Ralph, Costa wants to know, PPR league, but it's only 0.5 per reception. Is that Joseph Addai or Donald Driver to choose from? Who do you like there?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joseph Addai. The thing with Driver is they have so many more weapons out there in Green Bay. You know that Jennings is going to get the ball. You know the tight end Finley is going to get the ball. So when it comes to Driver, he may just end up, you know, having one of those 5-reception-for-30-yard games. I think Addai has a better chance of scoring. I'm going to go with Joseph Addai.
All right, a question came in regards to the Patriots wide receivers. I don't know if it's official that they re-signed Deion Branch, but somebody wanted to know the PPR value of a Brandon Tate or Julian Edelman And you know what? I kind of see Edelman as a guy that has value only when Wes Welker's not playing because he plays that same kind of slot role. But Brandon Tate, Ross, I know you've been on this kid for a while now. Why don't you weigh in here and let us know. You think he's worth the waiver wire shot?
I absolutely do. I think he's a downfield threat, and he's especially worth it. I don't know that he's going to continue to be the return man with his elevated status now that Moss is gone, but if that counts, it certainly doesn't hurt in your league. And, look, he's a guy, big frame, speed down the field, definitely over the injury he suffered at the end of his college career. He's a year removed from it, and to me, he's an effective weapon, and part of the reason, not a major part, but part of the reason that they were so eager to get rid of Randy Moss in New England. I think Tate is a definite add in on your waiver wire if he's still there.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's still there.
Yeah, I agree. If you can grab him, why not stash him on the bench and wait it out a week or two, see what he does. Ralph, non-PPR, needs two. Vernon Davis, Brandon Lloyd, my boy Dexter McCluster, Mike Thomas, and Devin Hester, who has been somewhat invisible as a wide receiver, and Todd Collins starting this week. So one more time, needs two. Vernon Davis, Brandon Lloyd, Dexter McCluster, Mike Thomas, and Devin Hester. Who do you like there?
I think Vernon Davis is a no-brainer here. They always look for him in the red zone. So I don't think they're going to score a lot of points. I don't like his quarterback. But Vernon Davis is too good to bench. And then the other guy I'm going to go with is Lloyd. I mean, he is the big play deep threat with the Denver Broncos. I know he's got a tough matchup coming up, but I know Orton's going to look his way plenty. And really, if you get like one big play out of him, I think that alone vaults him over those other guys you mentioned, McCluster, Thomas, and Hester.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there. Ross, a quarterback question, Eli Manning or Kyle Orton this week? You know, Orton's been a man of fame with his passing game. And I know, you know, Eli could get into a shootout with Schaub this week. Tough call. Where do you go here?
I just don't like the Texans' secondary. And if Ahmad Bradshaw is less than 100%, that means Manning's going to be throwing the ball all over the field. I do think he's going to be susceptible to a pretty serious pass rush with the reshuffling of the Texans' offensive line. But I don't think Denver's going to get away with being one-dimensional as easily as they have in the past now that they're playing Baltimore. I like Eli Manning a little bit better in this one. I think he easily hits 300 yards and throws for a couple of touchdowns. And I just don't see Orton in that Denver offense succeeding with their one-dimensional style against the Ravens.
Well, that was my question for you. As Denver travels to Baltimore this week, you know, the Denver passing attack has been just about the best in the league, and they do run into a Baltimore defense in Baltimore, so take it away.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like both quarterbacks here. I don't love them. I have them just outside the top 10 in Joe Flacco and Orton. I've given you my reasons that I don't have Orton higher. I've been, you know, aboard the Kyle Orton bandwagon since he got traded from Chicago, but this is a very difficult matchup for him at Baltimore with a one-dimensional offense against the defense that can scheme against something like that. Yeah, I don't think he's faced that, really. Look, if you have to, you start him. I know the Baltimore D is tough, but, you know, he's going to put the ball up more than almost three-quarters of the time, so he is going to rack up yardage. I just don't know how many touchdowns he's going to have. I think Ray Rice has been one of the major disappointments in fantasy football this year, but I think he's been banged up, and I think he's healthy this week. I think he's going to have a bust-out week this week. I think if you have him, you put him in your lineup. I think Denver has been decent against the run, but I think Rice gets it done this week. He's been used conservatively with the injury. You can play him. I wouldn't expect the world, but I think 85 yards and a touchdown is not too much to expect. I think Anquan Boldin is the weapon to have here. More and more, lots of yards and lots of scores from him. Flacco's going to be throwing the ball early and often in this game, I believe. I think that Boldin has 100 yards and at least a touchdown in this game. I'm not buying into the fact that Champ Bailey's going to shadow him all day. And even if he does, Bolden's proved that he can get it done against even the best cornerbacks in the league. I think that he's a definite start. I also think that Brandon Lloyd is useful. He is Orton's number one. I know it's always a hodgepodge when it comes to the Denver wide receivers, but Lloyd is slowly emerging as the number one guy there. And I think despite the Baltimore defense, I think that Lloyd can get it done today as a decent wide, second wide receiver for your fantasy team. Look, no Sean Marino is out. That makes him a dud. I think the rest of the Denver running backs and Carell Buckholz or Lawrence Maroney, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole today. I just think that, you know, they're going to have one of those 10 carries for 11 yards kind of days. I don't think Denver's going to be running the ball all that much. Another dud in this game, and I'm tired of waiting around, and we had a good sign out of him first week of the season, but it has not been anything since, and that's Todd Heap. Look, unless you're really desperate, you have an injury, and your guy who you have as a reserve is on a bye week, I wouldn't play Heap. 3 catches for 35 yards, that's what you're going to get out of him, and that's not enough with the other tight ends that are out there. There are a lot of good tight ends in fantasy football this year, so you don't have to sit there and suffer with a guy like Todd Heap. Get him out of the lineup. I think the sleeper in this one, I think Eddie Royal's worth the roll of the dice here in a PPR league. You know, like Lloyd and like Jabbar Gaffney, he is a top 20 guy as far as targets go. And that's important to me. You need the opportunity. And I think this week there's going to be an awful lot of passes in the air from the Denver Broncos. And if you're in a PPR league, you could do a lot worse than Eddie Royal. I think that Baltimore wins this game, but I think it's going to be a lot lower scoring than people think. I have the Ravens winning 21-13.
All right. There you have it, Ross Radamus, Ross Mandel. We're going to kick it over to the good Reverend Ralph Mancini. We talked a little bit about it briefly. Peyton Hillis a little dinged up, most likely to play, but Matt Ryan and his road struggles traveling to Cleveland this week. Ralph, what do you got for us?
Well, I understand the concerns about Matt Ryan, but I actually like him in this matchup. You know, Ryan is a matchups guy. While he looked great versus New Orleans a couple of weeks ago, he was shaky versus the 49ers. I think this is a good week to start him. Cleveland is a mess in the secondary. Cornerback Eric Wright is getting beat like a drum on a regular basis. Sheldon Brown looked pretty helpless trying to cover T.O. last week on a long score. Plus, both Cleveland defensive ends are banged up, and they're both questionable, Robert Smith and Kenyon Coleman. And I think Ryan is almost foolproof this week. I love the matchup. I think he's going to go to town on the Cleveland Browns. I don't give the Browns any chance to win this game. The dud here is Jerome Harrison. Hillis is the number one guy in the backfield. With Harrison being the change-up option, Harrison didn't see any action last week because of a thigh injury. He did see some special teams time, but he didn't get any touches in the backfield. He may develop into Jake Delhomme's pass-catching third-down back, but that doesn't do much for you fantasy-wise, considering the fact that Cleveland doesn't have a potent passing attack and that Jake Delhomme was the quarterback. The sleeper here, you know, I'm not crazy about this guy, but if you really need him and you're really in a pinch, then you might want to give Ben Watson a try this week. You know, as mediocre as Watson is, he's been the most consistent option in Cleveland's passing attack. Watson is clearly a desperation play for those who need a one-week, bye-week fill-in. He did have 6 catches last week, for whatever that's worth. But I do like Atlanta. I love Atlanta in this game, 24-10 over Cleveland.
Boy, it must have been a magical day in church today because Ben Watson has made Ralph a believer, folks.
Just this week.
All right, Ross, over to the chat room again. Shady McCoy or Joseph Addai this week? Who do you like straight up?
I'm going to go with Addai just because I think he's the only guy there, and I think the Colts are going to score a lot of points this week. I don't dislike McCoy. I think he's a good play this week. I just think that San Francisco's probably going to be able to hold Philadelphia to less points and scoring opportunities than Kansas City is at home for the Colts in Indianapolis to Joseph Addai. I like Addai by a little bit in that.
Ralph, Shady McCoy, Beanie Wells, Pierre Garçon, choose one.
Well, you know, call this a gut feeling. I think that Wells is going to have a nice game this week. I'm going to go with Beanie Wells. Look, last week he didn't get a carry until the end of the second quarter, but he has complained about it, and I think the squeaky wheel gets the oil here this week. And look, if you think about it, if you're Coach Wisenhunt, why not give Wells a lot of the carries this week? Why not give him a lot of action? They have a bye week coming up in week 6. And the thing about the New Orleans Saints is they can't stop anybody on the ground. I mean, even D'Angelo Williams, he had a long run against them last week, a big touchdown. And, you know, even when they stacked up 7-8 guys in the box to stop him. So I think the matchup favors Wells, and I think the fact that he does have a bye week coming up over also favors him. I think he's going to get a lot of touches, and I think he's going to have a nice little breakout game.
I agree. Max Hall getting his first career start in Arizona. They're going to run. And when Arizona runs and Beanie Wells is healthy, he's the one that totes the rock and gets the majority of the workload. Throw Garcon out of the equation here. You know, you have McCoy versus Wells, basically, and Wells is getting stronger while McCoy's a little dinged up. So why not go with the stronger body here? That's my take on it. Here comes that question again. Non-PPR league needs two. Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, Percy Harvin, and Jeremy Maclin with DeSean Jackson and Randy Moss. Maybe I'm the crazy one here, guys. I'll open up the floor to anyone who disagrees with me, but Mike Williams, Percy Harvin, Jeremy Maclin with DeSean Jackson and Randy Moss. I start DeSean Jackson and Randy Moss all day here.
Yeah, I don't see how you can go in another direction.
Okay. One more for the people. Matt Forte, Ahmad Bradshaw, Pierre Garcon, who we just said we're going to throw out today, Lance Moore or Johnny Knox. Ross, again, I think Forte and Bradshaw are the obvious plays here. Or do you like Garcon, Moore, or Knox from those others?
I like Garcon, but not as much as I like Forte in his matchup. You know, not necessarily running the ball, but in that passing game with Todd Collins dinking it off a lot today. And Ahmad Bradshaw, you know, people are a little concerned about his health. He's fine. He's going to play. He's going to play a full game and get all the touches out of the running back position for the Giants against a very, very shaky Texans defense. And I know they're second in the league in rush defense, but that's only because teams pass the ball all day long on them. The Giants will run the ball effectively today. They'll also throw the ball effectively to Bradshaw out of the backfield. They're just not going to score enough points to stop Houston.
Okay, Jock Strap, welcome to the chat. Wants to know, PPR, Ralph, pick three. You're going to eliminate one. Santana Moss, Tolbert, Freddie Jackson, or Thomas Jones. Which one of these players are you eliminating from the equation? It is a PPR. Needs three of these players. Santana Moss, Tolbert, Freddie Jackson, and Thomas Jones. Which three are you rolling with?
Oh, I think I'm probably going to eliminate Thomas Jones from the equation just because I think that Charles is the better player, obviously. And I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to go off and score 30 points versus Indianapolis. I think they are going to put up a lot of yards. I don't think they're going to score a lot of touchdowns. And I think if the Chiefs do score any touchdowns in that game, you know, they might score 20 points or whatever. I think they're going to do it via the pass. They're going to be in catch-up mode. So I'm going to go with the other three guys, Santana Moss, Tolbert, and Freddie Jackson.
Cover Zero, welcome to the chat. Non-PPR needs two, Ross. Randy Moss, Michael Clayton, Lance Moore. Brandon Edwards and Jabbar Gaffney also available on the waiver wire. He has a pretty strong backfield, so he would have to cut LeGarrette Blount to pick up one of those guys. But, you know, Michael Clayton is developing as a good number one guy in St. Louis. And with Randy Moss there, I would think he's safe.
Yeah. For right now, you definitely go with Clayton and Moss. And I know Rev's boy, Laurent Robinson, is on his way back and may even see a little time today. But Clayton is getting targeted all the time in St. Louis. And I think today, against that Lions secondary, he's going to have a better day than Randy Moss for my money. I think Clayton has a huge day today. You definitely start him. And I think you definitely start Moss. I like Lance Moore a lot, but I think Randy Moss is the way to go. And I wouldn't be cutting LeGarrette Blount if one of your running backs is Darren McFadden, man. He's banged up again. The guy can't seem to stand prosperity. So be careful what you do with your running backs if Darren McFadden is one of them.
All right. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini. You can check us out at NFLDraftBible.com or join us each and every week right here at the Fantasy Sports Channel, 8:30 to 10. This is how we do it each and every week, taking through the March of Champions. Got to get some ring polish for those rings at the end of the season. Winding up the Week 5 holiday, getting through the end of the 1 o'clock games. Then we're going to cover the 4 o'clock games and the primetime games. But let's talk about the Chicago Bears, Ross, without minus Jay Cutler, traveling into Carolina to face a rookie quarterback in Jimmy Clausen. And let's not forget, this is the Julius Peppers homecoming show. Take it away.
Julius Peppers might score more points than the entire Bears offense, Matt Forte notwithstanding. Look, this is a quick one. The stud in this game, D'Angelo Williams, he was a little bit sick early in the week, but it's nothing to do with his knees or anything like that. And he practiced fully on Friday, so he's going to be all right. I think he's going to have a lot of chances with Jimmy Clausen at quarterback and Steve Smith being out. The Bears gave up 200-plus yards on the ground against the Giants, so I think that D'Angelo Williams has a pretty decent week. I also like Matt Forte. I just don't think that Carolina is going to be able to stop him, and I don't think the Bears are going to be able to stop using Forte both on the ground and in the short passing game with Todd Collins as the quarterback. I think your duds in this game, pretty obviously, two quarterbacks, Clausen and Collins, are useless. I think Geddes and LaFell, the two Panthers wide receivers, you have to be extraordinarily hard-pressed to put any one of them in your lineup, although Geddes, for my money, is the better bet as far as a PPR league if you need three wide receivers. I don't like Johnny Knox. I think he's been a major disappointment. Even with Jay Cutler, he really hasn't lit it up this season. Now what's he going to do with Todd Collins in there? Not much is my guess. I think the sleeper in this game are both teams' defenses. With these quarterbacks, there's not going to be a lot of points, and I think there's certain to be some turnovers in this game, especially since Steve Smith isn't playing for Carolina. There's just no threat from Carolina other than D'Angelo Williams, and, you know, I'd count on the Bears to stack the box and not stop them completely. There's not going to be a lot of points in this game. I think if you need a field player as a sleeper in this one, I'd go with Greg Olsen of Chicago. I think that, as I said, with Forte, Collins is going to take those short, conservative routes over anything else, and I think that is Greg Olsen. I think if you're in a bye week or you're in an injury pinch, you could use Olsen at the tight end spot. I see Chicago winning a truly missable game 14-10.
Yeah, this game is going to be ugly, boring, and a lot of running. Jacksonville at Buffalo, Ralph. Buffalo still in search of their first win. They shipped out Marshawn Lynch. Jacksonville comes to town. What do you like here?
Yeah, another five-star matchup right here. I'm going to go with Fred Jackson as a stud here. With Marshawn Lynch on the West Coast, I think Freddie Jackson is suddenly the number one back in Buffalo, at least for now. Jackson will be extra motivated to prove himself as C.J. Spiller continues to be brought along slowly. The Jags, numbers-wise, haven't allowed many rushing yards to their opponents, but that's only because the Colts, the Broncos, and Philadelphia don't run the ball a whole heck of a lot. So I love Freddie Jackson in this matchup. The dud here, well, first of all, Sean Nelson just finished serving a 4-game suspension, had some groin surgery during that time. You don't know how big of a role he's going to have in that Buffalo offense right off the gate, right off the gun. Roscoe Parrish is another dud here. He's unreliable. After a decent game versus the Patriots, he was back to his old ways last week, one catch for 7 yards versus the Jets. He's a spare part who doesn't command the ball. The sleeper here, believe it or not, is Leek Evans. Evans has been overrated for a long time now, but this week he faces a horrible Jaguars secondary. He'll probably be matched up with Rasheen Mathis, who appears to have lost a step and has stopped making plays. Also, the fact that Jacksonville doesn't have a pass rush outside of Aaron Kampman also helps. And I do like the Bills to get their first win, 27-24 over the Jaguars.
I think they kill them. I think they kill Jacksonville.
Wow. Okay, I've heard a couple people say that this week. St. Louis at Detroit, Ross, you know, two teams that I would consider are rebuilding, but then NFC West, who knows, St. Louis might have a chance to win that the way they're playing. Anyway, they travel into Detroit, where this would have been a much-anticipated Sam Bradford-Matthew Stafford matchup. Obviously, we don't have that this week. Tell me what we do have.
We have a pretty exciting game, both from a realistic perspective and a fantasy perspective. I think if you have Tom Brady or you have Jay Cutler, you could do a lot worse than either Sean Hill or Sam Bradford as your fill-in for this week. I have them both just outside the top 10 in quarterbacks. I think both running backs are must plays. I think Jahvid Best is going to play. I know he's got that foot injury, that toe injury, but he's a week healthier, and he was just fine last week anyway. He scored some fantasy points for you. And, look, I think that he's playing on turf where his numbers are far, far better than they are on grass. I think that, you know, Steven Jackson is definitely a play this week against a pretty bad Detroit defense. I mean, let's be honest. I know they have a decent team offensively, but defensively they're wanting, and I think Jackson is an obvious play. I think Calvin Johnson is a top-five wide receiver this week against a pretty average Rams passing defense. And also, Mark Clayton, the sixth most targets in the league so far, if you can believe that. I'm sure the Baltimore Ravens can't believe that. You must absolutely have him in your lineup against Detroit's awful secondary. And just a note about Calvin Johnson, I know Nate Burleson isn't a difference maker as far as the stat sheet goes, but he does create more of a distraction for Calvin Johnson on that Detroit offense than any of the other flotsam they've had in there since he's been out, and Burleson is expected to play today. I don't like Tony Scheffler this week. He had a concussion. He practiced a little bit, but I don't think he's a tight end you can count on. I think Pettigrew, if you have to choose between the two, is the one to go for. And, you know, on bye weeks, sometimes fantasy players try to get cute. And I know the Rams' defense played well last week against Seattle, but Detroit's offense is good, and Seattle's is not. This is not the week to get cute and try to play the Rams' defense. Stay away from them this week, although I do think there'll be a unit that might have some value later on down the road, but not on the road in Detroit. I think the sleeper here is Danny Amendola. I know Laurent Robinson is either back or very close to being back, but the kid has 21 receptions this year, and that's major PPR value as far as this game goes today in Detroit against an absolutely terrible Detroit secondary. I think his awful pass defense makes him a really good bye week filler. I wanted to go with the Rams in this game, but I'm not. I'm going with Detroit 31-28 in what I think might be one of the most fun games to watch of the weekend.
Wow, okay, a little, I don't know if it's a surprise there. I think St. Louis might win, but Detroit is home, and Sean Hill's been playing terrible, so maybe he'll turn it around today. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio, Rick Serratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mantini here from the NFLDraftBible.com. Check that out, NFLDraftBible.com. We'll be here each and every week, 8:30 to 10, every Sunday on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Going to turn it up back over to our chat room peeps. Tolbert, Freddie Jackson, Thomas Jones needs two in a PPR league, Ralph. Tolbert, Freddie Jackson, Thomas Jones.
I'm going to go with Tolbert and Freddie Jackson. You know, with Thomas Jones, I don't know how big of a role he's going to play. As I said before, they are going to try to run the football. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Castle's going to have to put it up in the air more than he wants to. I'm going to go with Tolbert and Freddie Jackson.
Cedric Benson, LaDainian Tomlinson, and Ryan Terrain, Ross. On paper, it looks like Benson and Terrain would be the guys to go with here, but LaDainian Tomlinson playing some great, great football. I believe he was AFC Player of the Week last year. Is that enough to persuade you to play him over Benson or Terrain?
Not enough to play over those two guys today. For my money, I like the other two matchups, and I don't like LaDainian Tomlinson's matchup today, and I think he's going to be splitting carries again. I don't think Benson or Terrain are going to be splitting carries, and I don't like going up against that Minnesota front with a week off and a week to prepare against them. I think this is the first week that Tomlinson looks ordinary. I'd go with the other two.
Yeah, let's not forget Minnesota had the best run defense in the league last year. So, I agree with you, Ross, 100%. The question about Calvin Pace's return this week, is he an IDP star? You know, I would say no. You know, if you're asking me if he's an IDP star, that means he's either going to make a lot of tackles or he's going to make a lot of plays, such as an interception, a fumble recovery. So I say no, he's not an IDP star. I think Jason Taylor played very well in his absence, and I think the fact that Jason Taylor has been getting some, not just sacks, some bone-crushing sacks, I think you could see Taylor in there more than Pace on third and long situations which tells me I'd be hesitant to play Calvin Pace if I were you. Ralph, you're our kicking guru. Somebody wants to know, Robbie Gould or Jason Hansen this week, they get bonus for long field goals. We all know Robbie Gould had about 5 or 6 of them each and every year. But Hansen's been on the money this year. I hate to have some kicker talk, but who are you going with?
Well, I'm definitely going to go with Jason Hansen. Look, just look at it this way. Detroit's going to put up a lot more points than either Carolina or Chicago in that dreadful game. So I'm going to go with Jason Hansen here. He's not the same kicker he was a few years ago. He does miss his fair share of 50-yard field goals, but he's still reliable from 40 yards or 50 yards in. So I think I'm going to go with the old man here, Jason Hansen, for Detroit.
All right, and one more kicker question for you, Ralph. Longwell, Akers, or Nugent? Pick one.
Longwell, Akers, or Nugent? I'm going to
I think
go
Longwell is against the Skins. Go ahead.
No, Longwell is going up against the Jets. He's kicking for the Vikings.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with Nugent just because I like the Bengals to beat Tampa Bay very convincingly this week. And Nugent's been looking very, very good. I think he's having a bounce-back season. He's hit some long field goals as well, so if they do need him to kick the 50-yard field goal, he's proven that he's perfectly capable of doing that. I think I'm going to go with Nugent here.
Okay, let's get these 4 o'clock games started. Ralph, kick us off with Tennessee at Dallas.
Okay, the battle for Texas, and the stud here is Tony Romo. Tennessee is a little light along the defensive line with injuries to Derek Morgan and Sendarik Marks, which should allow Romo a bit more time in the pocket. Plus, Tennessee plays a lot of man coverage, which is a scheme that Romo plays very well against. The dud here is Jason Witten. Outside of his Week 3 performance where he caught 7 receptions for 56 yards, Witten has been a disappointment. He continues not to be targeted in the end zone. He'll be asked to line up at fullback a lot today in order to replace the regular fullback, Chris Gronkowski, who's out with a groin ailment. The sleeper here, well, I have to say it, Felix Jones. I mean, look, as a flex, why not? The Cowboys have already said they need to get the ball in his hands a bit more. I know they said that before, but they're coming off a bye week, so maybe finally, you know, they've had some time to come to their senses here and give them the ball a little bit more often. So if you're really in a bind here, you don't have too much to work with at running back, you might want to gamble with Felix Jones. The other guy that I like as a sleeper is Dez Bryant. He's been consistent so far this year. He's everything you want in a wide receiver, and I think it's just a matter of time before he breaks out. I like Dallas in this one, 28-21.
Okay, Dallas at home needs this win. Ross, we've got a frustrated fantasy football owner. He's mad at the Soldier Boy, Kellen Winslow, telling me, you know, I play this guy every week, week in and week out, and his army ain't producing. Any thoughts here? Should you stick with them? Any maybe possible waiver wire guys? What's your take on Kellen Winslow? Again, they are coming off the bye week. Is he going to turn it around here in Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, he had 83 yards in week 2 on the road against Carolina and didn't produce anything, but not a lot of people do against Pittsburgh. And that's 2 out of his 3 games, you know, and he had a bit of a clunker against the Browns, 4 catches for 32 yards in the season opener. So it's a pretty small sampling. I mean, it depends who else is available in your league. If you're thinking, you know, going to pick up a Tony Maioki of Kansas City or a Jermaine Gresham of Cincinnati, I really couldn't argue with you if you did that, but it's a bit soon to just out and out cut a guy unless you have someone as a replacement. Right now, in my mind, Winslow is probably just outside the top 10 in tight ends, and, you know, there are a lot of guys with more upside than him, namely Gresham, who I like, and a guy like Brandon Pettigrew, who's in an offense that does score an awful lot of points.
Here.
What's that?
Yeah, Aaron Hernandez seems to be available. Should he go Hernandez over Winslow?
Oh, I would. He's another guy that I would add to that, especially with the departure of Moss. I mean, New England is going to run 2 tight end sets predominantly for the rest of the season. So I think if Aaron Hernandez is somehow available in your league, you go out and grab him immediately.
Okay, how about Aaron Hernandez or Johnny Knox for the remainder of the season? Another question that came in there, Ross. Who do you like there?
Yeah, I've never bought into the Johnny Knox phenomenon, and I don't know what's going on with that Bears offense. I would definitely pick up Hernandez in favor of Knox.
All right, Ralph, Vinny in New Jersey, some Jersey love. He was offered Marshawn Lynch for Santonio Holmes straight up. Do you do it?
Well, it's a tough one, but I was looking at his team, and he really doesn't have any short things at running back outside of Michael Turner, and he does have Justin Forsett. So by trading for Marshawn Lynch, not only does he insure himself, but he gives himself a guy that could be a very good number two type of back after Michael Turner. So I think that he should make that deal.
Okay, back over to the Winslow topic, Ross. Winslow or Celik this week, half a point per reception?
Absolutely, Brent Celik.
I agree 100%.
Bob likes to check down.
Yeah, we don't even need to talk about that. That's a no-brainer. Ralph, Dwayne Bowe or Mario Manningham at your flex?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dwayne Bowe. I love both their matchups, so I'm just going to go with Bowe because he is the number one option there at wide receiver, whereas Mario Manningham's the number three guy. So just keep it simple and go with Bowe.
Bleeding Green Nation, I'm not sure you don't have a question here. You just listed some players, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Javid Best, Peyton Hillis, the law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and Jerome Harrison. I'll rank them for you. I'll go Adrian Peterson. I'll go Peyton Hillis. I'll go Jamal Charles. I'll go Javid Best. I'll go Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and then I go Jerome Harrison. I think Ross and Ralph are a lot higher on Javid Best than I am, but I would take Hillis and Charles over Best, in my opinion. Michael Bush or Mark Clayton, non-PPR, Ralph, Michael Bush or Mark Clayton this week?
Both have good matchups. I do like Michael Bush as a sleeper. I will get to him later on. But I think that Bush is going to get a lot of carries. I like what I saw out of him last week versus the Houston Texans. So, eight times out of ten, I'm going to go with the running back over the receiver. And in this case, I'm going to go with Bush over Clayton. I don't see the Rams putting up a ton of points this week versus the Detroit Lions. So I'm going to go with Bush.
All right. And the question about Celik, Winslow, or Hernandez for the rest of the season, I'd ride out Celik and go with that until otherwise, as long as Cobb is the starter. They are roommates. They have some chemistry there. Ross. New Orleans travels into Arizona, where we said Max Hall, the undrafted rookie free agent from BYU, standing at barely 6 feet tall, gets his first career start. This is the playoff rematch from last year. A lot of things have changed for the Cardinals since then. Take it away.
Yeah, I this is a tough one for Max Hall to walk into. I think obviously the stud in this game, or maybe not so obviously anymore with the way the offense is playing, Drew Brees. I happen to like Chris Ivory a lot. I think he's going to score in the absence of Pierre Thomas, who is out. Lazelle Betts is also worthy of a flex play. I think he'll probably be the one to get more yards, but I see Ivory being the one to score the touchdown against Arizona's awful run defense. There's room for both of those guys there. Marcus Colston and Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, that's a short list of disappointing wide receivers fantasy-wise this season. They've been only average this season at best. Colston because there's a lot of other options. Fitzgerald because there really isn't a quarterback in Arizona, and I don't expect that to change too much this week. There's a reason Max Hall wasn't drafted. He doesn't have an arm. New Orleans is going to be focused on Fitzgerald. I see Arizona trying to go to the ground, and I think Beanie Wells is usable, although don't expect too much out of him. For whatever reason, the Cardinals don't want to give him 25 carries a game. I don't see any reason for it. But until, like Jamal Charles, until I see them do something else, all I can do is scratch my head and say, what are they doing? He's far better than Tim Hightower. He's just not getting the carries to prove it. I do not like the New Orleans tight end situation. I think they're going to produce a lot because Arizona gives up tons of points to tight ends, but they split it down the middle a little too much between David Thomas and Jeremy Shockey this week. I think combined they'd make a solid tight end play this week, but separately there are certainly better plays even in a bye week for your tight end spot. The sleeper in this one, they haven't done much this season fantasy-wise, but the New Orleans defense is going to do something today. The Arizona offense has done nothing this season. Max Hall, to me, is not the answer. He might be better than Derek Anderson, but that's not really saying a whole hell of a lot. I think he's sure to make some mistakes today. They're going to be playing from behind, which is exactly what New Orleans defense thrives on. They're a front-running defense. They love to play when they get ahead, and they will be ahead. They will win this game 31-14.
Yeah, this one's going to get Bubba Sparks ugly up in here. Wow. San Diego at Oakland, Ralph, take us home with these 4 o'clock games, and then we'll get into the prime time action. You know, this is a rivalry game, and I know on paper San Diego, most people have them pegged to beat Oakland, but not so fast, my friend. Take it away.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close matchup, and I do like San Diego, and I do like Zach Miller as a stud here. Not only is he Oakland's number one receiving target, but he ranks 4th overall in fantasy points among tight ends. Oakland moves him around a lot to take advantage of his athleticism. Gronkowski loves to get him the football. Plus, he usually does well versus San Diego. Last year, Zach Miller had 11 catches for 148 yards in 2 games versus the Chargers. Start him. The duds here, well, number one, the two Darrens. Number one, Darren McFadden. He's out with a hamstring injury. Keep him on the bench. Darren Sproles, now he's the number three guy in the Charger backfield with the emergence of Mike Tolbert. Last week, Sproles didn't even get any looks in the passing game. Sproles is an excellent third down back, but do you really want to gamble on him this week? No, I don't think so. He's looking more like an occasional contributor. The sleeper, Michael Bush. He will get the carries without D-Mac in the lineup. Oakland can't put it all on Gronkowski's shoulders, or he's going to get killed. Gronkowski takes a lot of shots, so it would be smart for Oakland to try to get that running game established with Bush, and he did look good last week versus the Texans. The other sleeper here is Legadu Nane. He didn't do much last week, but he has a chance versus a Raider defense that doesn't have much at cornerback other than Nnamdi Asamoah. I do like San Diego. I think these teams are going to go back and forth. The Chargers are the better team. They have the better quarterback. San Diego 34, Oakland 27.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer than some people think, but for whatever it's worth, Phillip Rivers 8-0 as a starter in his career against the Raiders. So, it can only mean one thing. We've got about 10 minutes left to go. Keep the questions coming in the chat room, but it's time for prime time. And that would be Sunday and Monday Night Football. We're going to break down both of those games. But first, Vinny in New Jersey. Jersey, you know how we roll. Felix Jones on waivers. Wow, really? Do I grab him and play him at flex? He's got Mike Williams there right now. It is a 0.5 per PPR. Ross, your take.
I'm not buying the whole Felix Jones thing, man. I've bought it for a couple of seasons, but every week I hear them say he's going to get more, and every week he doesn't. I mean, he's a guy that if you start him on your fantasy team, he could get 2 carries for 8 yards, and that's it. Look, Ladell Betts is going to get carries this week. Chris Ivory is going to get carries this week and probably the goal line carries, and Mike Williams is the number one wide receiver. I would rather have those other 3 guys than Felix Jones right now. I go with Chris Ivory.
Yeah, I just saw here he could pick up Betts, Ivory, or Felix Jones. Ralph, I know you've been on the Felix train on and off the last few years. You like any one of those guys over Mike Williams this week?
Over Mike Williams? I like Mike Williams over those guys, but there was another question that was asked about whether somebody should pick up Betts and let go of Betts to get Felix Jones. I would absolutely do that. Ladell Betts is an average player. I think Felix Jones has a much higher upside, and I think, he's going to give you at least 3 or 4 games that you're going to be very proud of. So, I would definitely drop Betts. But, with that Mike Williams question, I would start Mike Williams.
Okay, we said it. Here it is. Sunday Night Football in America, Ross. Mike Singletary, that chair is getting pretty darn hot.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fallen apart in San Francisco if it hasn't fallen apart already, and they can change offensive coordinators all they want, and they might do it 5 more times before the season's over, but the bottom line is this team is just not on the same page, and the coach has to take some responsibility for that. One guy who has succeeded, though, is Frank Gore. You know, combined rushing and receiving yards have his fantasy owners pretty happy this season, I'd imagine. And, you know, there's no reason that won't continue this week, at least against the run. I like DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, but I don't love them. I mean, we're not going to see them used to their full potential with Kevin Cobb at quarterback until he stops checking the ball down on every play and starts unleashing the ball. The kid's got an arm. I don't know why they're not letting him use it. I don't know why he's not using it. You still start DeSean Jackson this week for sure, but if you can avoid it, I wouldn't necessarily start Jeremy Maclin this week. I think the guy who profits from Cobb being the quarterback, as we've mentioned before, is Brent Celek. But in my book, the tight end to own here is Vernon Davis, who is absolutely going to torch the Eagles today, as most opposing tight ends have done so far this season. And pay attention to the injury report. I know it's a late game, so you're going to probably have to make a decision sooner rather than later. But I like LeSean McCoy in this game. I think he can be effective. I think he's going to play. He's not going to score Frank Gore points, but I think he's certainly a useful flex play or a second running back in a deeper league for your fantasy team. The dud here, and I'm going to keep dudding him until he proves me wrong, and Michael Crabtree, you know, he looked better last week, but he's still not reliable enough to use as a start on your fantasy team, even during the bye week. He just doesn't score fantasy points. Alex Smith looks confused. He's not throwing the ball to Crabtree. He's going to Vernon Davis and Frank Gore. I don't think you can start Crabtree until that stops happening. I think the sleeper here is the Eagles defense. They haven't played too well this season, but the San Francisco offense has been worse. Alex Smith is at happy feet, even when there's no one around him. He's dancing all over the place. He'll at least have reason to this week, as the Eagles are just going to overwhelm him with blitzes and sacks galore. I think the Eagles defense racks up the sacks. I think Alex Smith is good for at least a couple of picks. And I think the 49ers remain winless after Philadelphia goes in there and wins 20-16.
All right, there you go. I like it, Russ. I like it. Last game of the week, Monday Night Football.
Who's playing?
You know, we got all kinds of drama here building up. We got Moss returning to Minnie. We got Favre returning to Jersey. We've got all kinds of allegations. Girls pointing fingers at Favre. Revis pointing fingers at Moss. The guy doesn't learn. He was yapping his mouth last time he faced Moss, and Moss burnt him really good. Now Revis is going to try to do it again, and here to break it all down. By the way, Favre needs one more touchdown for 500, first player in the history of the NFL. Look for him to test out Revis deep early and often. Go ahead there, Ralph.
Yeah, I like New York Jets defense as a stud here. The Vikings offensive line has been pretty bad. The Jets get back Calvin Pace this week, which means that Gangrene should be able to pick up a few sacks. Also, the Jets know how to play Randy Moss. The big wideout might have had a touchdown versus Revis a few weeks back, but, you know, Revis wasn't 100%, and when Cromartie moved over to cover him, Moss was pretty much a non-factor in that game. I also like Vishante Shanko. He had a hamstring issue in his last game, but he looked good otherwise so far this season. The Vikings are using him more as a down-the-field type of threat, and Jim Leonard has had some issues covering tight ends lately. The dud here is Sean Green. He's taken a back seat to LT, and Minnesota traditionally has a top-three defense versus a run. let's see. Bernard Berrien's also a dud. Randy Moss, he's useless. The sleeper here is Santonio Holmes. It's a risky pick since he has to work his way back into the offense, but he might be good for one or two big plays. I do like the Jets in this game, 22-20.
Wow, okay. You got a prediction on this one, Ross?
Yeah, I like the Jets, and I don't think it's going to be as close as the Rev does. I think it's 27-13. I'm just not buying the Minnesota offense against that Jet defense on the road.
And Vegas ain't buying it either. This game's opened up at 2.5 at the start of the week. The Vikings then went out and traded for Randy Moss, and the Jets are now favored by 4. I found that somewhat surprising. But just a quick take here before we wrap it all up, Ross, I let Ralph weigh in. Just in terms of the impact of Randy Moss on Minnesota, what's your take on it?
I think he's going to have a huge impact. I think it's going to energize the entire team, not just the offense, but I don't necessarily think that it's going to come in week one on a short week of preparation. I think Favre is going to just, in the huddle, tell Moss, you know what, just go out, I'll throw the ball up, we'll see if you can catch it. But I think down the road, it's going to open up things for Adrian Peterson, it's going to open up things for Percy Harvin, and it's going to open up a little more space for Vicente Sanko, who has been seeing double teams and has been, you know, not shut down, but limited recently. I think Moss is exactly what that team needed. I think it was a fantastic acquisition, and if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm pretty psyched that I have an owner who's like, you know what, I know this guy's got some issues, but this is Brett Favre's swan song, and if we don't do something, we're not making the playoffs. So he did what he had to do. The team did what they had to do, and I think this is their best chance to succeed. I don't think Moss is done by a long shot. And I think, you know, the worst-case scenario, they weren't going to make the playoffs without him. So I don't really see there being a lot of risk, and I think there's a lot of reward potentially for Minnesota, especially with Green Bay it's kind of being a little shaky this year. I don't think the Vikings are out of the division race quite yet.
Winding down.
You said a mouthful there, Ross. For Rick Sartella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini, this is how we do it.